A famous Hasidic rabbi, when asked whether he succeeded in his community, said yes, because when I came there, I found torn clothes and whole hearts. And when I left, it was just the opposite. To have whole clothes and torn hearts, that was what he thought was success. And since we are fortunate enough in our community to have whole clothes, sometimes we have to challenge our beliefs and say no to what it is that the rest of the world is saying yes to. So today I want to speak about the best-selling book and DVD that is spread all around the country and around the world, that has been featured on Oprah a couple of times, called The Secret. When I first heard about The Secret, when it was sent to me and I took a quick look at it, I knew that it was an old idea. In America, it goes back to Napoleon Hill in the 30s, who wrote a book called Think and Grow Rich, Norman Vincent Peale, who talked about the power of positive thinking. It was an old idea. As it grew successful and I heard more about its teachings, I just thought it was wrong. But now I've watched it, and I think it's dangerous. The teaching of The Secret, for those of you who have not been inundated by this, is that your thoughts control the world. It's what The Secret calls the law of attraction. If you think something positive, then the world, by the law of attraction, will bring positive things into your life. If you think something negative, then the world will respond by giving you negative things. So you don't concentrate on what you don't have, you concentrate on what you'd like to get. If you think negative things, you'll have a car accident. If you think positive things, you'll get rich. Thoughts, it says, are like magnets. They attract. I don't know whether anybody thought to point out to the people who make the DVD that magnets actually attract their opposite. Positive magnets attract negative, and negative attract positive, but okay. One thing you do not get in this DVD is accuracy. And you have a whole bunch of people who have presumably succeeded in their lives after their success telling you that they succeeded because they thought good things. One commentator in an article I read on it said it reminded him of Steve Martin, the comedian's old routine. Steve Martin used to begin his act by saying, "You too can be a millionaire. It's easy. First, get $1 million. But what makes The Secret pernicious, that is dangerous, in part is the fact that again and again and again it uses the word science. As though if you repeat the word science often enough, it'll become scientific. We are told, for example, positive thoughts are 100 times more powerful than negative thoughts, and this has been proved scientifically. I'm here to tell you that actually the opposite is closer to the truth. You can have 1,000 good drivers and the freeways are fine. One lousy driver and you've got a traffic tie-up for hours. It takes lots of people, lots of time to build a building. It takes one person with a wrecking ball one day to knock it down. In fact, negative things are in many ways more powerful than positive things. But they don't tell you that because it doesn't sell DVDs. There are three lies, and they are nothing less than that, three lies that characterize this that we have to know. The first is that you control everything. And this is repeated again and again and again and again throughout the course of this DVD, and God knows I sat through every minute of it waiting for them to say something new. You control everything. What comes into your life, you bring it into your life. So I just imagined this addle-pated philosopher saying this to every one of the 6 million victims of the Shoah. Every one of them. You brought the concentration camp into your life. To every child who's starving in the Sudan, you brought hunger into your life. To every Israeli soldier that was killed in the wars, you brought that bullet into your heart and your brain. You did it. By your thoughts, it's your doing. One of them says, I know this is hard to hear. Yeah, it's hard to hear. Because it's a lie. As you can imagine, I sat there getting chemotherapy and watching children who had cancer receiving medicine. I don't believe they brought it into their lives by negative thoughts. As though everybody who is healthy has positive thoughts and everybody who gets sick with whatever disease everywhere in the world has negative thoughts. I promise you one thing about all the people who appeared in that DVD. And you can take this to the bank. All of them will get old, all of them will get sick, and all of them will die. And they will get old, and they will get sick, and they will get die, and they will die no matter what they think. This theory that you make your own luck in this world is a theory that is very popular among lucky people. But there are a lot of unlucky people out there who know better. And part of the problem and part of the danger of this is that it's based on a partial truth. It's not that there's no truth. It is a partial truth. It's true that positive thoughts and prayer and hope can change your life. We all know this, I hope. I gave a whole sermon not so long ago about Viktor Frankl's magnificent book, Man's Search for Meaning, that everybody should read. They should throw out The Secret and read Viktor Frankl, who talks about how, in order to survive the concentration camp, it was so important that you had meaning, that you believed your life mattered, that that gave you a chance. But Frankl says that doesn't mean that an SS officer wouldn't still kill you. It just meant that you might be able to avoid those tragedies that meaninglessness brings on, that you had more strength from it. But this idea that this partial truth, that positive thoughts and hope and prayer can change your world, that this positive truth is everything, is a lie. That there is no room for genetics, for environment, for the evil of others. It's a lie. It makes us into God. We control everything. And to make yourself into God is idolatry. Nothing less. It's worshiping an idol, except the idol is you. Here's the second lie. The second lie is that negative thoughts are always bad. There they are, the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments. 7 out of the 10 begin with, you shall not. Boy, you better have some negative thoughts if you want to make it through this world whole. If you never think you're bad, and you never think you're guilty, and you never think you're incompetent, and you never think you're foolish, and you never think you're shameful, I don't want to have anything to do with you. You scare me. We're flawed and fragile and partial creatures. And we will think badly of ourselves if we have any conscience. Not all the time, but some of the time. But what The Secret does, by the way, is set you up so you must fail. It says any negative thought can bring bad things into your life. So you must never think a negative thought. It reminds me of the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Hasidism. Someone once came up to the Baal Shem Tov and said, I want to know, there are false religious leaders out there, false rabbis, false spiritual teachers. How do I know which one is true and which one is false? And you know how the Baal Shem Tov answered? He said, go ask them if they know how to prevent machshavot ra'ot, bad thoughts. If they tell you they know, they're frauds. Don't let anybody tell you that human beings shouldn't have bad thoughts. I assure you, the first thing that they thought when they finished that DVD is, what if it doesn't sell? That was their first, I promise, that was the first thought. My ancestors, who came to this country and traveled over the seas, made up all sorts of cynical Yiddish sayings like, human beings plan and God laughs. They talked about the challenges they faced, the difficulties, how hard it was, and they were among the most successful people in history. If you're a scientist, you better be able to think negative thoughts, as in, I just tried an experiment and it doesn't work. If you're only thinking positive thoughts about your experiments, I don't want your medicine in my body. Kabbalah talks about the Sitra Achra, the negative side, the dark side, even of God. Rabbi Yochanan in the Talmud says, the eye has a light part and a dark part. You can only see through the dark part. The negative part of the world, failure, depression, shadows, difficulties, they are essential for a growth of a human being. Not just positive thoughts. It's spiritual snake oil, and we shouldn't be buying it. That's the second lie. And here's the third. The third is that because you cause things, other people don't really matter. Now, they don't say that explicitly. But it's true. They show a scene in a restaurant where a person has negative thoughts, and as a result, they end up upsetting a plate all over the waiter and all over themselves. And I keep thinking, what about the waiter? Maybe he was having a positive thought. How did the plate end up on him? When they say you have a negative thought and you go out and you have a car accident, what about the other guy? It makes other people unreal when you think that you control everything. You don't. There are other people in this world. They control a little bit too. They have something to do with it. And we have to give them a little credit for existing like us. There is, by the way, a philosophical position that describes it. It's called solipsism. Solipsism is the belief that only you exist, and everything else is a projection of yourself. As you can imagine, no decent philosopher in history has seriously argued solipsism. It is true, according to the Jewish tradition, that we are unlimited in spirit. But it is false that we are unlimited in effect, in what we can do. We're limited. Not only are we limited, but we're lucky. One of the most disgusting, and I use the word in its purest sense, statements in that DVD is this man who comes on who is identified as philosopher. And he says, 1% of the people control 96% of the wealth in the world, and that's how it's meant to be. That's how it's meant to be. I'm here to tell you that the reason that I live a good life, that I have never faced hunger, is not because I spend my time thinking positive thoughts. It's because I was born in 1958 in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and I was not born in 1929 in Warsaw. Because I was not born in the Sudan. Because I was not born in sub-Saharan Africa. Because I was lucky. And to say that we control much of the wealth of the world because we think positive thoughts is a chilul Hashem. It's a disgrace to God. And Jews shouldn't be saying such things. And they shouldn't be believing such things. Do we know how positive, how powerful determination and hope and prayer can be in the world? Nobody knows it more than we do. But remember, the Israelites didn't want to be redeemed from Egypt. God pulled them out by the scruff of the neck. And that leads me to three things that were not mentioned in the DVD. This is what you won't hear if you go out and waste your money and buy it. First of all, there's no discussion of community. It's about me. If you took the word I out of that DVD, it would run half its length. It's self-reliance run amok. It's all about me, about my health, about my wealth, about my relationships. No community. In other words, what they need is a little more Pesach in that DVD. Second, there's nothing about self-sacrifice. It's all about what I get, and not at all about what I give. It's a lot about feeling good and nothing about doing good. The one model that they mention in the DVD of doing good is Mother Teresa, and I could just imagine Mother Teresa, if you asked her whether all the lepers that she helped tend to in Calcutta brought this on themselves. Tell me, Mother Teresa, did you have life's work because the Calcutta lepers thought negative thoughts? We have the antidote to that too. It's called mitzvah. Mitzvah is what you do for someone else. And then there's one other thing that's not mentioned in that DVD, and that's God. The law of attraction is a law of the universe, we're told. But there's no discussion of God, and you can understand why. Why talk about God when I'm God? The world is laid down on tracks we do not understand and we cannot control. And here is the secret about the secret. What the secret really is an appeal to your greed, your cupidity, your desire to acquire things. It's about money. 80% of that DVD is about how to get rich. There is no moral quality to it. And it sweeps across America, the richest country in the world. Because after all, we know that what we really need is to get more. As though wealth cures misery and emptiness and anger and despair. Not only that, not only is it morally vapid, but it doesn't work. It reminded me of this very brief but wonderful discussion in the Talmud about two rabbis, one of whom says, if you want to be successful, all you need to have is faith. And the other one says, you have to have faith and you have to work. And then the Talmud comments, many tried the way of the first rabbi and did not succeed. They tried the way of the second rabbi and they succeeded. If you gave me a choice tomorrow between somebody who thinks positive thoughts and somebody who works hard, I'll take the person who works hard. Everything, said Albert Einstein, should be made as simple as possible, but no simpler. Life is not simple. There is no single formula that will make you better, that will take away the difficulty and the pain and the shadows and the disease and the trial. Don't we know that by now? We're Jews. We know that life is not easy, and that anybody who comes to you promising to make life easy is a liar. And you shouldn't listen to them, because we know better. And And God help us if we teach our children that there is an easy way to get through life. Because then when the difficulties hit, they'll have no resources to deal with them. Don't believe a single secret. Life is not that simple. Don't believe that the sadness of others is always their fault. Don't believe that your own success is always your merit. And don't pray only in the singular. Pray for all of us. To the extent that there is a secret in this world, I am happy to share it with you. You don't have to buy the DVD. You don't have to buy the book. Here is the secret. It's right there. There it is. It will do more for your life than the empty formulations of the so-called philosopher who will be forgotten tomorrow. The Israeli cab drivers have more wisdom than this multi-million selling CD. No matter what you say to them, in my experience, every cab driver who was born and raised in Israel says the same thing. Hachaim ze lo picnic. Life is not a picnic. Every Israeli knows it to be true, because reality comes down a little faster and a little harder there than in almost anywhere else in the world. But that is our answer. Hachayim ze lo picnic. It's a struggle. And it's meant to be a struggle. And that's a good thing. So on this Pesach, when we teach our children about slavery, about difficulty, about trial, you're not betraying them, you're preparing them for what life really is. And the secret is effort and learning and intellect and hope and community and tradition and Torah. Don't let anybody else take it away from us. We've known it too well for too long. It is our message to ourselves. It is God's teaching to our world. Chag Sameach.